Maybe let's start with TGL. Can you talk about a little bit about your responsibilities? You're the master of ceremonies. It seems quite apt for what you do. Talk a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, I mean, so the in-arena MC for TGL, I'm basically making sure that everybody there is having the best time as possible because, really the thing that we're trying to do is broaden the sport of golf. And in order to do that effectively, we have to kind of help golf viewers understand that it's okay to approach this more like a traditional sporting event than a golf event. And so there's a lot of things that we do to make sure that the in-arena experience is compelling. I do get to do the intros, which is really cool. When the players walk out, able to, drop some quick bios and get the crowd hyped to see some of these guys, best players in the world. But by and large, just making sure that when there's big moments, everybody in the arena knows how to respond and, knows when to respond. And other than that, making sure that they have the best golf experience possible.
You've done so many things in the golf business, even though you're still a pretty young guy. How does that help you when you're kind of in that realm? You know, you're in the room of battle with all these competitors. You're announcing them as they come out. How does
You
that
know,
help you kind of fit into that?
I get a lot of benefits from being at TGL. One is being that close to the players. I'm always taking away new swing tips. Just staring at them for a long time without me playing as much golf. I feel like I'm dropping the index through osmosis. And I think that that's one of the things that the fans pick up on too, is the proximity is unmatched. And you're able to see just how they're processing so many shots. Able to see a guy or a girl for, you may catch them for a hole or two if you're very diligent about it. And but this caliber of player, to see them do that many things in that concentrated period of time is unprecedented. And I find that, for me, it not only am I getting better at golf, but it's fortifying relationships with a lot of these guys, which is really cool. I've been huge fans of all of them for so long. To see them not just, show up there, compete and have fun and get to see a different side of their personality, but to also see them put the game of golf on their backs and saying, hey, we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that the game continues to expand. The initial group that signed up to participate in TGL, when they write the history books of whatever golf turns into, I hope that they give proper credit to everybody who, took their time, away from their family during, the early parts of the season to do something that was for the good of the game comprehensively.
So most of us will probably never see the inside of the arena like you do. What's something that we don't get to see that you do being right there with those players?
I think there's a couple things. One is the magnitude of what they've built down at TGL is insane, the scale of it. A lot of people will call it, they say like, oh, I don't want to see guys hit into a sim, or I don't want to see this. But it is single-handedly the most impressive. I think like for the size of the footprint, it's the most impressive like golf facility that you've ever seen in your life, likely ever will see, unless they figure out how to make it even more grandiose. To think about all of the details and nuance of what you would need to make it real golf in that small of a footprint, effectively you've built, infinite number of holes like in one setting. And you think about the implications for this as far as, how golf will grow. The ability to use the, instead of buying these huge pieces of land to give people these immersive golf experiences, what if the future was, where golf designers are building these arenas and the architects are just going crazy with how people are able to experience these holes? It makes you think about the possibility once you actually get inside the arena. You start to really dream and understand what the bigger picture vision could be. Seeing players have fun, seeing players engage with each other, and not in something as heavy as a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup, or but seeing them work together in a more fun environment it feels so much more relatable than some of the things that we see on TV, because you feel like you're playing in a money game. You feel like you're watching them playing a money game with their friends, like you would be playing with your friends on the weekend. And I think that that relatability is huge for, not just the product, but for those players' brands, as as they look to expand and hold on to relevance in the space. And I think the other thing is just back to the facility one more time. There's so many different types of technology that are integrated into making that move so seamlessly. And the fact that they're able to do it night in and night out, like you hit a ball into a screen, like that data goes to SkyMark that marks it on the green, and the green rotates to the orientation that it is in the game. And it's just all of these things that have to happen simultaneously and congruence is it's so impressive. I know that you say a lot of people won't be able to, but I do think that more golf fans should make it a priority to come see it in person. If you've watched it on TV, take a trip, to Florida, and just see it once, and it will contextualize the entire experience in a way that it deserves to be experienced.
So have you had a chance to hit shots on the
Oh yeah.
TGL? Yeah.
Probably a few too many. I sneak in there and do my thing. Adam knows, man. If they leave me idle for a moment, I'm picking up some golf club they got laying around, and I'm trying something, but no, I've gotten to experiment with it a decent bit, even in some of the more formative stages when they were testing things. I got to come in and try it out. And like I said, from a the things that they get right in an environment like that, which you have to for the caliber of player that you're dealing with, to get that many things right technologically, visually, experientially is so impressive.
What's it like to hit short game shots on that green and around the green?
Now, the new green versus the old green, the season one green was tricky. They had some more severe slopes, and there were spots there where you could get, some into the grain, like very uphill, short-sided chips that were hard to accelerate through. And it was easy to flub them. And I think now they've kind of gone with the more neutral to slightly down grain pattern with the turf. And man, it is very fun to hit some of those green side shots now, which even looking at the season now, Sahith made a crazy one. Goddard made a crazy one. I think that there's going to be a lot more electricity greenside because of the creativity that players can show, which is ultimately what we want to, be able to see them do. But I think that it's so cool. The undulations, with the 12 hole locations, the variety of shots that you get to create is really, really cool. It's really cool.
So, in addition to your involvement with this growing golf league, creating something brand new, you yourself are at the intersection of a lot of things in golf, right? So you're a creator, you're part of the media, you're involved with fashion, you're involved with culture. Where do you think golf media itself is heading? Because there's so many different places that we're going right now.
Yeah, and that's very layered because there's so many different segments of it now, right? Like you have traditional media, you got content creators and people that are going and talking about things from first person point of view and speaking about things very experientially and singularly. You have people that are just creating content that just independently for themselves and showing how, what they would do if put in the same position as the players. I just think that there's way more transparency, and it's tough for me to say where it's headed, but I know that there's a lot of interest and demand for sharing golf narratives, which makes me very excited. There are more and more people that want to talk about their golf experience, that want to share their perspectives on the game, the things that are happening in the game, what's good, what's bad for it. And I think that just the growth of these lanes in storytelling around the game is an overall good thing. And so I'm very inspired by that. And also, from a TGL perspective, Every match is just so much media there. Everybody's, trying to talk about, what's new, what's going on, what does it mean? And the interest hasn't faded at all. And so I'm encouraged that there are so many new opportunities to storytell around a game of golf. But I don't know what it looks like, what it nets out to, in 5 or 10 years. Like, what is the new landscape? But I do think that there are a lot of new voices that are coming through that are very passionate about the space, which I'm encouraged about.
So what was it like to work at the Ryder Cup? You did some on-air stuff, and yeah, I saw that you did a clip, a fun bit with Colin Jost. What was that like? Because that whole atmosphere was interesting.
That, yeah, interesting is a really good word. That was my first Ryder Cup that I've ever been to in person. Obviously, huge fan of the Ryder Cup, the history of it. I was a little afraid going into it because of, just the anticipation of what the crowds would bring. And I just felt like this narrative had been sold of how crazy the environment would be, and I didn't know how compelled New York fans would feel to live up to that. When we got there, I thought that, I just thought that there was no way that the first 2 days would happen the way that they did. I think everybody was shocked, everybody was disappointed, and it, like, the nastiness that ensued on the back end of losing is like a double negative that, you hate to see those two things together. You as an athlete, everybody hates to be a sore loser. You hate to be called a sore loser. And I felt like that's how, we were coming across a bit. But I do think that because of the globalization of the game and the diversity of fan bases, nobody was A lot of people were happy to see, Europeans doing well. A lot of Americans were happy to see Europeans doing well. And, I don't think anybody that really cares about the game wanted to see anybody on the European side have a bad time. But by and large, if we're going back to, the media parts of it, for the Ryder Cup to allow, people like Colin Jost and Hannah Burner to come in and, have fun with the event like that, I thought that it was inspiring, to say the least, to give that kind of creative freedom to let, what the next version of storytelling and event documentation and event coverage could look like. And I thought that that was a fun place to play with it. And I thought that by and large, it was well received.
So let's bring it then a little closer to home. We wrote an article last year where we coined you as being Chicago's golf ambassador just by what you do. And, it kind of spread quickly. And I think a lot of people accepted the fact that you're very well suited for that. So, being Chicago's golf ambassador, what's your take on the President's Cup coming next year and what you talked about the behavior? This is going to be very important, right? We're going to be under the spotlight that hopefully, do you think we can, the fans can kind of put a better face towards supporting both sides?
I'm just being candid. I think that this is a huge opportunity for the President's Cup, to gain some traction and show, like, how compelling of an event it is. And I think that it's the right mix of things, right? It being in Chicago being one of the most diverse cities that we have, so much cultural representation, is really a global city. And, to really get out in front of the market and make sure that all of the fans know that they're represented in some way, shape, or form in this event, I think that that's very powerful, to just show the reach of the game and also the reach of our city. And I also think, because there was a lot of, discontent with how the Ryder Cup played out, I do think that, the captains, Brandt and Jeff, I think that they both have an opportunity to show what team formats, what national pride and what team pride could look like, And on this venue, you know, they obviously they just redid Medina, and this is going to be a lot of people's first time getting eyes on it. To do all of these things in this new venue in this amazing city, I'm very hopeful that this President's Cup will be memorable. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to and really excited about. You hate to, you know, capitalize on misfortune, but I do think that, you know, the Ryder Cup left people wonder asking a lot of questions about American and US morale. And I think that, you know, to this very next year be able to step up and show a different front for, because a lot of the same players on the US side will be participating. It is a chance to, you know, tell this redemption story, to show, you know, our camaraderie, to show, you know, just how much of the team spirit we can really buy into. And I'm overall, I'm just very excited about what this will mean for the game of golf and for the city of Chicago, as showcasing ourselves is just, I think, one of the best cities in the world.
So if you put your hat on as a player, you played in the Creator Classic, I believe, the Internet
Yeah.
Invitational. One of the
Mixed
things
results.
that, yeah, one of the things that we that I got feedback from Coach Jake Thurm on about you was that you were very you allowed yourself to try a lot of different things. Like he
Yeah.
said that you were going to be wanted to be a player, then you wanted to be a long drive, and then you kind of found your niche. Is a player playing in those events, which are becoming bigger and bigger and more important to people, how what's your mindset when you're going into that as far as are you looking just sort of to represent who you are, or is there competitive juices take over? What's that feel like?
I just love competing. You know, I think it's a lot of it has to do with the way that I was raised and, you know, very competitive family. My dad was always very competitive, and I just enjoyed the feelings of caring about outcomes, you know, and it makes me happy to be in those situations. And so I think that I tend to approach those environments, especially now, because, you know, this is not professional golf. My living, my ability to support my family is not hinging on what I do in these events. I think that it's really just you know, a me against myself and trying to find out how can I channel the best version of myself relative to those circumstances each time. And, you know, to Jake's point, no, he was there with me for a lot of it. I'm just very curious about golf. I'm curious about, you know, how it's intended to be played. I'm curious about how it could be played. You know, and I'm always exploring different ways to, you know, make the most out of different experiences. So you know, I've tried to hit the ball as far as possible. I've tried to, you know, become the best putter possible. I've tried to, you know, add different shots to my short game repertoire every season. And I'm just a forever student of the game and just forever curious about, you know, what it takes to get closer to playing this game at the highest level possible, you know, relative to my skill set. But I do think that, you know, competing in golf is, I think, one of the core elements of how people should be approaching it to really appreciate the game more comprehensively. It's one thing to just go out there with your friends and slap it around, go out with your family, slap it around, and have all of these fun social moments. But I think you really unlock a very deep appreciation for golf if you compete. And everybody that starts, when I get to speak to them early enough in their journey, I do try to encourage them to add competition to their goals for the sport, you know, because it really does matter.
So let's finish up with a few rapid fire questions. What has becoming a parent done to your ability to play golf? Are you still able to practice, play as much as you
No. Yeah,
want?
but I do find that I take every rep more seriously. I'm way more intentional. So if I get 30 minutes, it is a very dense 30 minutes of time. And I think that that's true with anything that makes you more busy. When you realize that time is limited, you really try to structure it and go into things with better plans so that you can, maximize the time a lot more. So I'm learning to be much more efficient. So when the kids get older and, hopefully I'm still strong enough to play, I should see like this hockey stick as far as performance when they get a little more independent.
Do you know probably better than most that we're very lucky in Chicago? We're loaded with great private public courses. You've also been involved with Kemper Sports. They manage a lot of great courses. What is your involvement with Kemper Sports? How did that impact like how you see golf courses and how they're maintained?
It gives me a lot of pride and joy to work with Kemper because I believe from a public and, private golf perspective, they have some of the best properties in the city. North side, south side, west side, or west suburbs, the Glen Club, Bolingbrook, Cantini, Harborside, is they service golf for everyone. Whether you're a country club guy, whether you're just getting into the game, their facilities are made for you. We had this initiative where we were trying to, make golf cool, so to speak. Not saying that golf isn't cool, but making sure that people that didn't necessarily identify themselves with the game felt like they had a home to do that. And across their properties, we were able to stand up programming that invited people and welcomed them into the golf foes, which I think is the most important part of this. And, tying it back to TGL, it's like it's one thing to build something and then hope that people come. It's another thing to go out and get people and bring them in. And I think, TGL has done a great job of that, making sure that they go out and get fans and bring them to the space. Kemper Sports does a great job going out into the community. What organizations, what schools, what people, what groups can we bring in and give them an experience that make them start to shift their mindset around this game and what it could mean for them. So the way that we've been able to work and the properties that they manage is just it's a great partner to have, and it makes me hopeful about what the game will continue to mean to more people going forward.
So this is a tough question, and we're going to exclude Kemper Sports. So now, non-Kemper Sports, what's your favorite Chicagoland public golf course?
Excluding the Kemper properties.
Yeah, so you don't have to pick one of those.
My favorite Chicagoland, so like Chicago proper or just
Chicago, yeah, suburbs, city,
oh, any okay.
public, first public, and then I'm going to ask you private. So you got to pick a private one and a
My favorite, this is loaded.
public.
I have a lot of favorites, but I will say that Jackson Park on the south side is a big favorite of mine because the course seems so gettable. It's a short course. They were supposed to there were talks about doing some big renovation that Tiger may have been involved in. I don't know where those conversations are, but this course has always meant so much to a lot of people in my community. And every year they have this Chicago City Amateur event there, which is one, I think it's the second oldest amateur event in the country. That's been going for however long that is. And every year we go out there, we play three rounds, and we just try to light it up. And for some reason, that course just always manages to escape my grasp. And but yeah, it's a favorite of mine. And if you're coming to Chicago, it's fun to stay downtown and take that drive down Lakeshore and go check it out because it is truly historical.
And then from a private club perspective, what's your favorite?
I gotta go with Medina. The redo. I love the club as a whole, but the redo, it is phenomenal. Sometimes I feel that the land we weren't in Chicago, we weren't gifted with all of the undulation and the natural features that you get in some other notable courses around the country. But we always do a really good job of we do a great job with layout with the land that we have. What they've done with the land at Medina, it almost feels as if you're like in a different, part of the country. There's so much undulation, there's so much character to the land, and the way that they've redesigned it just feels it feels something truly unique to the city. And I'm very excited, for this President's Cup for people to see it and get feedback on it. But it truly is one of my favorites in the city.